Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Ashwini and I'm pleased to be joined by Jen, who's here to talk a little bit with us about the Bridgewalk campaign this season. So welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks for doing this.
So Jen, I was just thinking this is the second weekend in October, which in a normal year would have been the weekend, the week that we were talking either about the wonderful time we had at Chrissy Field or launching the campaign if it was a normal year. But it hasn't been a normal year.
No,
it hasn't. There's nothing normal about this year.
Exactly. So, when you were saying, it's so funny because when you were, as you started to frame it, I thought, how in the world is she going to frame this? Sorry, go ahead.
So perhaps you could give us, I mean, we've been getting a couple of emails into the registration office asking, is there going to be a Bridgewalk campaign this year?
Yeah.
Or what are we doing? And so perhaps this is our opportunity to fill everyone in on how the thinking is going around that.
Yeah, perfect. So as you say, you know, for many folks know that right now would be Bridgewalk season. And for people who don't know, basically what that means is it's the time of year that we pause to learn about, celebrate all the transformation that's happened in the work in Cantalumba in our project in Zambia over the last year. But, you know, like everything else this year, that rhythm has been completely interrupted. And it was abundantly clear to us that having a traditional Bridgewalk season just did not make sense, right? That given everything we as individuals, as, you know, a planet, as a, it didn't make sense in any sense of the word. But what was so extraordinary about that is that it was really one of those tangible places where the benefits of awareness practice kick in. Because I was acutely aware that there was no worry with it, you know, no kind of ruminating, no figuring it out, but there was complete responsibility on the part of the organization. So looking at financial forecasts, what resources are available, what resources do we need, and then just kind of a sense of, okay, life, here's what we know, you know, truly, I mean, almost like inputting the information. We know this, we need this, we have this, we're going to need this. You know, here's what's going on in the world, what now? And so, and then just the process, a practice of listening, you know, just kind of being here and on our toes and doing things, I won't give it away because I think the newsletter hasn't come out, but talked about it a little bit in the newsletter. It's the same thing in Cantalumba, right? I mean, what we've got our attention on in those calls with Teresa is, do the kids have the masks they need? Do we have enough hand sanitizer? You know, what's the learning support that we're going to give to the folks? What do the cooperative members' families need? I mean, you know, we're down to the basics here.
So it's very much, please go ahead. What I hear you saying, right, Jen, that just because we always do a bridge walk doesn't necessarily mean that we always do a bridge walk, because what the practice is really about, what is life saying in the moment and what's appropriate to the moment? So it's not that it's not that funds are not needed for the project, but then how we raise the funds for the project will be dictated by the circumstances that we're in right now, right?
That's right. And as you say that, Ashwini, it just reminds me how it's so, we don't make any assumptions, right? So just because we have a bridge walk every year, we don't assume we're going to. And we don't assume that Sangha are in the same position that they're in on a normal year.
Precisely. Right? And it just so happens, right, that given what's going on in the world, the resources that we raised last year have supported us through all this time, which allows for, it's how life takes care of us, right, which allows a certain latitude in how we approach the fundraising. You know, it's not ideal, but kids weren't in school, so we're not paying school fees. Things like that, right?
Exactly. Exchange rate has been on our
being all over the map. What now?
Yeah.
And so really just listening to where the enthusiasm is in the Sangha, I think, and being responsive to what the needs are for that community. So what are we seeing, Jane?
What's that?
So where does that leave us?
Where does that leave us? Exactly. Well, the first thing that life dropped in was, well, how about one of our Sunday workshops, just as a starting place? Let's have all the proceeds go to the project, to mm-hmm. Africa. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Such a complete yes. no-brainer. So
it was something that yeah. was so successful last year, right? We did a whole January of practice offering practice as a way to raise funds. That worked. Yeah. Maybe it can work again, right? That's sort of the yeah. insight needs experience practice principle.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Good point. Yeah. So this Sunday, the workshop that we have coming up, all the proceeds, the $10 registration fees, plus any donations people feel moved to give above that, all of that is going straight to the project.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a fun tie in there, right, Jen, that sort of happened once again because life opened it up, which is October 18th. The workshop is on October 18th, and October 17th is World Poverty Day. It's been celebrated as that day since 1987. And when I was actually looking at what that day was constructed by the United Nations, it's actually an invitation of having those people who are in those circumstances be facilitated into the process mm-hmm. of how their lives could be different. That the orientation of that day was the celebration of the individuals who are in those circumstances being able to articulate how they get out of those circumstances, and the celebration of communities who are successfully doing that all the time because they have to. And I yes. just thought that was so appropriate to our project because it's always a celebration of the marvelous way in which everybody in the community has taken responsibility for their own change of circumstances with our assistance, yes. right?
Yes, yes. Which has always been the hallmark of this project. And yes. one of the things, we're going to run out of time, but I know we did want to give a few updates on the particular project. But one of them was that Teresa just today sent us through the draft of the story, the children's story that she's written. My comment about it was that it just brings a whole other texture to it that no one else could bring to it because she's writing from inside the experience. And that's what the whole project has been from the start. You cannot duplicate mm-hmm. that. There's nothing that can take the place of being inside the experience and exactly like you're talking about, facilitating the change from the inside.
Yeah, and it's such a quality of listening, right? Of being able yes. to be present to the people who know how to articulate what they need and what yes. they're looking for and where they need assistance and where they want to be responsible and supporting that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And it also very exactly. much speaks to what the workshop is about on the 18th, right? The tie-in there of, I think the workshop title is Being the Change.
Yeah, I love it.
That just brings it all together, right?
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah, it really does. I really hope people will join us for that because I think it does beautifully bring it all together. Yeah. And, you know, you said something at the very beginning of this, Ashwani, about, you know, people writing into the registration office and saying, hey, are we having a bridge walk season? And I really want to thank the people who have basically kept the rhythm just because they love it and it's what they do. And that's been a big inspiration and facilitation for me is that people are doing their thing anyway, you know, or, yeah. you know, just going forward. And so one of those, there's an artist in Sangha who does a project every year. She just looks to see, okay, what do I want to do this year that would light me up and be fun for me? And then she does whatever she makes, and then all the proceeds from that go to the project. And she's created gorgeous handmade cards. She's already sold half of the ones she made just to folks in her own neighborhood and family and that sort of thing. But the rest of them are going up online and are going to be available later this week. We'll give details about that. But that's the kind of thing where we would be essentially what we were sort of joking, but not joking. We're sort of launching, if you will, a non-campaign, a life's campaign, we might call it, right? This is our campaign. So there isn't any, okay, we're starting here and we're raising this and we're ending here and we're doing this and we're doing that, but we're truly just going to take it one now at a time. And that, whatever the now thing is, could come through any of us. So if folks have an idea, if they have some way they feel moved to participate, you know, something they want to do, to email us and let us know. You know, there's that Africa at Living Compassion address.
Well, and to do it, right? I mean, it's wonderful that the rhythm is self-selected in some way, right? Life is prompting everybody to turn their attention to this project and have their own momentum contribute and run their own little fundraiser, even if there is no framework around which it's happening.
Exactly so. And that, again, we'll look to see. You know, one of the things I'm hoping is that there'll be times where we can orchestrate a call where the Sangha can be invited to be talking to Teresa or, you know, who knows? So we're certainly open to all that, and also a huge commitment to keep people updated, because I project that would be a loss. You know, normally BridgeWalk season is when we're getting emails about it, we're having calls about it, and that's so fun and energizing, and Lordy knows we can all use good news right now. So we're definitely going to keep a commitment to keep people informed about things.
Right. So our commitment during this BridgeWalk season is to keep that piece of it going, and then to invite anyone who is feeling up for it to do whatever they do in order to raise those funds. And if ideas drop in for us, like this proceeds going to Africa after the workshop on the 18th, then we'll just share that with Sangha, and then we'll just see what life has to offer next.
Exactly. Because as you made the point a little while back, it's not that the project doesn't need the funds. It definitely needs the funds. So, you know, it's just, we're going to see where they come from. That'll be an adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the answer to that, as Sherry always points out, is wherever it is.
Right. Exactly.
It was in those wonderful cards that the artist made, or that wonderful check that someone sent us and said, you know what, I hope this goes towards Charles writing his book, which is just supposed to show how much it's in people's hearts, and that it being in people's hearts is what prompts it to sort of be get embodied as my fundraiser. Here's the money that I want to go towards supporting this.
And just for fun, I'll throw in one piece of really good news, Ashwini, which is that just talking to Teresa this week, we found out that Sylvia and Miriam passed with flying colors, that's a direct quote, into their final year of nursing school.
Oh, my God. Goosebumps. Yeah. Imagine when they graduate as nurses.
I know. Well, and
let's
the pandemic has
over, and some of us get to go for their graduation.
That's exactly where I was going. What we all said was, okay, the thing we have to start praying for now is a vaccine. Because they're not allowed to graduate without Mama Sherry sitting there in the front row. We already established that. The good thing is that they're at least 6 months behind where they were, because they also were not. Their whole rhythm was interrupted too. So, but anyway, that's a really fun piece of news. And it just underscores what I always, you know, say and feel. This is our project. It's extraordinary. It's amazing. And so every time something like that happens, it's just such a, wow, well done, team. You know, it's everyone's success.
Yeah, it is everyone's success. And then we'll just invite everyone to join us this Sunday for the workshop as participation in the fundraiser to the project.
Yep, exactly so.
Right.
So I think we covered most of the bases there, Ashwini.
I think so too. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini.
And we'll turn over the show to you, Michael, and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ashwini, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was thrilling, wasn't it?
That was thrilling. That was totally thrilling.
Well, you know what, Michael? I want to keep talking about it, okay?
Well, I was going to also, so go right ahead.
Oh, no, you go first. You go first. I'll remember.
Well, I was thinking of, try not to cry here, but I was thinking of Miriam and Sylvia and the role modeling for the girls that are coming behind them.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous.
It is okay, anything's possible.
Yep.
Anything's possible. And it's really
totally
showing up. I hope we get to do more of this so Jen can have a chance to talk more about this other little project that's going on of really looking to the girls who are especially, they look like they're just natural leaders. Sort of what is that, junior something or other? It used to be when I was a kid anyway. Junior achievement, that kind of thing. Is that the one where people would mentor kids who you know, seem to want to go in that kind of direction? And so we're looking at something like that I'm really excited about. Just all of it. It's just all so thrilling and exciting. But that point that you make, that we've gone in, I don't know, 15, 16 years, whatever the heck it is, from nobody is ever going to get out of there. If they survive childhood, it's going to be an absolute miracle. They're going to be dead by the time they reproduce. And to this where they're sophisticated. I just got a text from Jen. I'll tell you what it says. We're having our first Skype with Edna, who's in second grade on Monday. The last time I was there, and we were doing a broadcast from, I don't know where the heck we were, wherever we were having that big outdoor dinner and that sort of thing, and Edna was there. And I got to spend time with Edna, and she is just extraordinary. She is an extraordinary child. And, you know, it's one of those where you just go, you know, there are great things in this child's future, with the kind of support that she's going to have. And so we're going to hear more from I kept calling her the princess because she just has this regal air about her and super smart. And so that's very fun. Now people have to stop texting me. So that I can have this conversation with you. So at any rate, everybody's really excited. Jen says she's been bugging Teresa constantly. When are they coming to visit? She's too little, you know, still to understand about a global pandemic. Well, I mean, she understands that, but probably not how far away we are or that we can't fly that distance just yet, but that's great. I mean, we do have the technology now. And so I think one of the things Jen and Ashwini were pointing to is we will go ahead with some of those things that we've done where we'll try to arrange, they're all with their technology and we're with ours and we'll get to see one another and talk with one another. And, people get to meet some of the kids and it's very exciting. So I want to tell you, I want to bring it back to me, okay, of course. So a while back, I guess in August, I got a letter from a fellow inviting me to participate in a fundraiser that he was doing. He's a bike rider, and he committed to riding 1,000 miles in the month of September. And we could pledge whatever we wanted to pledge for every one of those miles. And he said, now, you know, do the math, okay, because that could get really expensive if you're not careful, right?
Yes.
And so he actually lives in Napa. And, you know, I mean, what are the chances that he's going to manage to pull this off with the fires, with the smoke, with the everything else? And he rode 900 miles. The month of September. And I was so inspired by that. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, I love those old-fashioned fundraisers, you know, where you do something that you love and people give you money
yes.
for you to do stuff you love.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, what, you know, God knows, I can't, you know, I can't even drive a 1,000 miles in a month at this point. So what, you know, what might that be? But, you know, I'm really committed to the level of fitness that I can manage. And so what I committed to was 5 miles a day that I would walk, or this morning I actually added a little jogging because I was in kind of a hurry, but that I'm going to do that 5 miles a day until, I don't know, January, whenever the season, the formal season, or I get tired, whichever comes first. And, you know, if nothing else happens, I'll pay myself. Because one of the things he talked about was the inspiration it is to get out there and do something like that. It's easy to get talked into, oh, you know, I've got too much to do today, or, you know, I'm tired, or this is going on, or that's going on. But then when you make a commitment like that, it just, for me anyway, it adds that little spark of, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. Because in this case, you know, this project that we all love, you know, those kids, they're counting on me. And so I just wanted to put that out there for anybody who, you know, thinks, oh, those kinds of fundraisers are so last century. Maybe they are, but that's okay. They're still worth viewing. And the thing that that it reminded me of was how thrilled I was that he asked me. It turns out it's a charity that I've wanted to give to forever, but, you know, I have my own. And so this was an excuse to be able to give to something that I think is really important and to support him in doing that. And it was thrilling that it's that experience of, oh, good, somebody is doing that part. Yes, I can support him to do that part. I'm going to do this part. And so anyway. If anybody else, I hope people will join me. You know, anybody, I mean, I don't care if I can't get anybody else to support me financially. I'll support myself financially because then I get all the benefit, right? If I just pay myself whatever it is per mile to do 5 miles a day, you know, that works too. So that's my story, Michael.
Wow. Wow. That's exciting. Yeah, yeah, and motivating, too, to put that commitment out there for a good cause and then follow through.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so supportive all the way around. You know, it's just, yeah, feels
yes.
good.
Wow, great.
And, Michael, I'm on day
yes.
six already.
Day six so, already?
Day six already,
wow.
yeah. And I'm loving
wow.
it.
Great. That's fabulous.
Yes. Yep.
Fabulous. Good. And
yeah.
now I'm going to tell us what's going on.
Okay, good.
Okay. When we hear, quote, be the change we want to see in the world, unquote, that can easily become a self-improvement program. But the desire to live in a loving world comes from the loving that we are. Join Sangha for the workshop, Being the Change. That's Being, Change, this Sunday, October 18th, for support in practicing being here. And, as we just heard, proceeds from this workshop will go to the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yeah. I love that title, don't you? I mean, that's it, Being.
Yes.
Is the change, you know, when
yes.
this is, why do we do this? Because it brings us here. It brings us to being, it brings us into presence. Yeah. It's
yeah.
good.
Powerful. Starting a new project or attempting to learn a new skill brings ego's reviews, assessments, comparisons, and messages about inadequacy and where we should be. The Learning to Love Learning group coaching class will offer training in staying with love around any learning project. The class begins October 21st.
so important, isn't it? So powerful.
Yes.
Well, if you learn to love learning, you can do anything.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know for me, it's been sidestepping the self-hate is just really the most critical element, because then I can just keep focusing on the learning.
Yes, yes, and the loving.
Yes, yes, yes. We cannot usually see the process we're in when we're in it, so having a mirror is of great assistance. If you are in need of clarity around some challenging content in your life, an upcoming Socratic email class with you, Sherry, is just the thing. Participants will choose their focus for the class and will have 6 interactions with you, Sherry. And this class begins October 31st.
Yeah. I love those. I just love them.
Me too.
Thrilling.
Me too. Yeah, and it's just so, I love the topic-focused ones, and I also love the Socratic one where I can bring up that one burning question that's been there.
Right, right. And it's such, the thing I love about it for practice is we get to see all of these different issues that people are working on.
Yes.
And since we're all one person, you know, it's just aspects of what all of us are working on. And but different people frame things just a little differently or respond differently. And it's just such a, it is it's a window, right? Into all these aspects of practice. Yeah.
Yes. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to get in the queue and talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1 to make a show and a conversation on 5 minutes, about 5 minutes or so, and on one topic would be great. Okay,
right.
I think that about covers it, Sherry. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan in California.
Hi, Jan.
Hello, Jan. What's going on?
Well, I'm feeling pretty inspired by that good news update and what you were sharing, and just feeling like so much gratitude. It's exactly what you said. I'm feeling so much gratitude to Sangha for writing in about the bridge walk, because I'd been meaning to do it and hadn't done it, but people took care of
it. Exactly. Oh. That's the power of Sangha, right? Somebody is going to take care of everything for us.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, I'm just very excited about it, and I have some ideas, so I'll write in, because I think those books could be a wonderful wonderful gifts for donors and things. So there's just all kinds of stuff to do, and bike riding, of course. But anyway,
that's up your street, as they say, isn't it? That bike riding thing.
Well, might as well make this fun.
Oh, and, exactly. Well, that's the beauty, right? Do something that you love, that you enjoy, and then let it benefit everyone.
Yeah, yeah, and I've thought of that before, and then I thought, well, I don't want to interrupt the success from the way we've been doing it in the past, or my family and I, but we'll just enhance it. It's an enhancement.
Exactly. Just do a little bit of this too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the original reason for my call was, I didn't know I was going to be so inspired, but. Just huge gratitude for the focus on loving, because I went through a surgery this morning that which went really well. I just want to say that it went really well.
Oh, good.
But what stood out to me, as it often does in situations, where there's there can be stress. Possible stress or concern, worry, whatever, is the not knowing, is the focus on loving. And I went in, I recorded before, I went in with that focus, and as an example, the TV was on where I checked in, And, of course, they're showing the hearings for Supreme Court. And I thought, that's the last thing I want to see right now. And I couldn't have my phone with me. So I just was saying to myself the recordings that I remembered and where that took me. I mean, practice just, there is something no matter what the circumstance. And so I go in with this tremendous gratitude that I have the healthcare, these incredible people that are just so caring and efficient and all that. Yeah, what more could you ask for? So it's just calling in gratitude that this practice, offers, no matter what the situation, offers us that, to be in that place.
Jan, I'm having trouble getting past the television is on with the, Supreme Court hearings. You know, it's like, really?
Especially people are getting ready.
Could we have some
people are getting ready to go into surgery?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe some soothing music or inspiring words, or something other than.
It was a surprise. In fact, as you say that, I feel like one of my contributions could be to write. I often write thank yous to the healthcare provider because they do such an amazing job. My experiences, but is to make that suggestion that might not be the TV might not
just
be
the best thing
approach.
to be going. Or at least put it on the Nature Channel. And the thank yous. That's really so important, isn't it? Because you know, there you are having this surgery, which is a very big deal. Whatever it is, it's a big deal. And then these are the same people who. I mean, they go to work every day in an environment that I don't want to go into, and their fellows, perhaps they and others as committed, are doing just extraordinary things to assist people all day and all night, every day of the week.
Yes, extraordinary. And I have to say, again, because of practice, what I couldn't help but notice is their amazing attention to detail and caring, and how that plays out. And I mean, life is good. And, you know, you just wish that for everyone, that they have healthcare and that they have that kind of care. But that wasn't my point. It was mainly the gratitude, because this focus on loving has been amazing in that it puts me up against where it's not. Of course, because that's sort of the point to see where we get blocked, and
Well,
to appreciate at the same time, where it is.
Well, and that's where I was. We've been looking at that a lot, I think, with loving. So there are those two things, right? Whatever somebody's politics are, what seems to be, for at least from what I keep hearing, one of the things that's up for grabs with this nomination is healthcare for people. Something like 21 million people are probably going to lose their health care, plus a lot of other folks are losing their health care because they're losing their jobs and that sort of thing. And so we can either – so and there it is on the television, right? As you're there having this extraordinary health care.
Oh, my gosh, I hadn't thought of that. Yes.
Yeah, and so it can – it can take us, all of these issues can take us to a place of anger and resentment and even hatred for whatever. Or it can take us to a place of, I am so grateful for this. You know, I'm going to put whatever effort I can into everybody having this kind of care. I want everybody to have this. Right? And we take all that gratitude and all that love and appreciation, and we put it into the change, being the change, right? And what might we be able to accomplish with that attitude?
Yes, absolutely. Because that's, well, we know what the alternative is.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we've had that experience. Thank you very much.
And that isn't working too well. And wow, what a delight to be in that process of doing exactly what you just described. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you. And thank
you,
Cassandra.
Thank you, Jen. I'm so glad it went well.
Yeah. And just on the morning show, just the call-ins, I feel like we're just on a whole nother plane. I don't know how else to describe it. Just amazing.
We are an airborne sangha. That people might not be flying that much in the rest of their lives, but in terms of practice, I think people are. Yeah, good.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. For joining us, Jan. And yeah, people are really flying, Sherry. It's the morning show is incredibly inspiring to me. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're lucky. What a group of people to go through life with. Woo.
Yes. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Judy from San Francisco.
Well, hello,
hi, Judy.
Hello.
What's going on? I've been waiting months and months and months to ask you this particular question.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm excited.
Oh. Okay. So for my profession, I help people become more efficient and productive at work. And when we were doing the morning focus on doing, it brought up a lot of, it raised up a lot of concerns, like, oh no, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I contributing to, you know, busy frenzy? And and there was a lot of questions about that. How do I help people be more efficient
in
a more...
What do you see about that?
But there is a way to do it in a centered way, to be efficient in whatever we're doing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's possible. It's not either or.
That's exactly right. And in fact, I'm sure that what you observe in people, we can observe it in ourselves and we can observe it in others, is that when people start, Jamie was talking about it on the show this morning, you know, the voices start in, oh my God, there's so much to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. How am I going to get that? Blah, 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 blah. And of course, we stop paying attention to what we're doing. We feel like we're really busy. We feel like we're really getting a lot done. But we're more like the image of the car with the back wheels in the ditch, you know, and the engine is just racing like crazy, but nobody's going anywhere. Versus when we're really present to what we're doing, what we're actually engaged in, we can be very efficient and effective and productive. And we get to enjoy it. So instead of feeling like we've been run through a wringer by the time the day is over, we feel really good about ourselves and life.
Being present to it, enjoying it.
So that's how to work centered, right? Not harder, not faster, but work centered, work present.
Right. Yes. I've been struggling for months about how does this fit? How does spiritual practice and being centered fit in with work?
Well, you know, Judy, if we look at life, life is doing everything. Right? I mean, trees aren't efforting themselves into increased growth. You know, birds aren't efforting themselves into flying. Water doesn't effort itself into flowing. Right? And so life is doing everything, including us. So we're not efforting our blood flow or efforting our lungs.
Breathing.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We can do that.
You know, right.
But we have a feeling that it's really quite unnecessary. In fact, a person could be, going through whatever and they pass out and they start breathing just fine, right? Because it's just that the brain, the mind, not the brain, but the conditioned mind was trying to breathe them. And it can be almost deadly, right? So it's really not necessary for ego to be involved in anything. And to me, that's what spiritual practice is a process of proving that to ourselves.
Wow. Wow, that's really, that's really powerful.
The greatest minds in the world, one of my big heroes is Einstein, because he was one of the few people of his stature who really got it, that he wasn't doing anything. He knew he didn't have any great ideas, right? He reported on what he saw, which is why he couldn't explain it to anybody.
Wow. So no efforting on his part, no trying.
And there never is on ours. So I kid people often in workshops or retreats, I'll say, okay, all right now, everybody, just, okay, you're right here, right? Okay, now, think of something brilliant.
Exactly.
And, of course, there's just this big gap, right? But I wouldn't even have to say brilliant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So think of something worthwhile, helpful, meaningful, or even just think of something.
Mm.
And there's just a gap. Because
yeah, right.
That process that we believe is doing everything isn't. So the best ideas in the world are just being reported on. And then, of course, egos take credit for them. Yeah? So any of it is just, the expression usually is God-given. And so we would just say life-given. Life is doing all of it. You know, you have talents. Maybe you write music or you paint or you whatever it is. We can agonize over it, but that's basically our contribution.
So back to what you said about spiritual practice is proving to ourselves that ego is not necessary.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. To life
Judy,
unfolding.
People who know that are also a real pleasure to be around. Because they don't have to, they're not trying to prove anything, and they don't have to take credit for everything, and they don't have to, right? They don't have to compete. They don't have to.
Yeah. Don't have to compare and.
Yes.
Keep score. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, because they know. Well, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing any of this.
Right, freedom, right, to just let things unfold.
That's right.
And like with that Martha Graham quote about being the channel, I think.
Yes, exactly. And the more we let go of ego, the more open that channel is. That's what our spiritual heroes are. That's what we see in them. They're not doing that ego stuff, and so what's there is kindness and generosity and gratitude, love.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Authenticity, right? Who we really are when ego isn't running the show.
Right, when the channel's blocked by ego.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm so glad.
Work's going to be a lot more fun, isn't it?
So much more freeing and light. Thank you.
Yes.
For me, there's
exactly.
Heaviness around it.
Say that again, Judy.
For me, oftentimes when I'm faced with ego stuff, bamboozle, it's a heaviness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, ego is so, because it takes itself so serious.
Yeah.
Or so seriously. It is so serious, and it takes itself seriously, right? And it's a drag. It's a misery. Yeah.
Yeah, it's physically dragging. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Really appreciate your insights. Guidance.
Well, thank you for sticking with it for all that time so I got to have this conversation with you.
Really appreciate it, Sherry. Thank you.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. That was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. And that same line also landed with me, proving to ourselves that the ego is not required for anything in our lives.
For anything. For anything.
Crazy.
Isn't that extraordinary? Because, of course, for most of us, it until we catch on to that possibility, it's the only thing that matters. Right? It's the whole conversation. It's what we look to. It's what we believe. It's what we judge others for. It's what we're striving to please. It's our whole world. And it's completely irrelevant. All it's doing is getting in our way and slowing us down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow, that's extraordinary. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, you're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marianne from Vancouver.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello, Marianne. What's going on in Vancouver with Marianne?
Well, I guess lots of
that was a two-part question, right? You can forget the Vancouver part, all right? I really don't care what, actually. I mean, I love Vancouver, but, you know, I'm really interested in Marianne, so let's go in that direction.
Well, I had to call in because when Jan was doing the good news update, and she was talking about the young women going into their final year of nursing, I just got goosebumps all over me.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I just feel that it is such a gift to be able to see another community of people growing and changing, that it's like that. It's like that's the kind of hope we want in the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely,
you know,
our children growing up and turning into wonderful contributions to their community, to the world.
So you know, it just is such a good antidote to all of the stuff that goes on, and you know, all those televisions everywhere that are numbing the mind with negativity. And here is a little, it's like a little sprig of grass breaking through the concrete and coming up and then starting to bloom. I feel so, well, I feel so connected to these people.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching them grow over the years, and I just, it would be like having those girls might be one of my own. So it just, I just felt like, oh, I'm so grateful to be a part of the Sangha and part of the Sangha doing this project that is just reaching out across the globe.
You know, when I actually met Ashwini at a, it was a poverty elimination or eradication or some darn thing, conference in Mexico many, many moons ago, 12 years ago or 13 years ago or something like that. And we both, I mean, we talked about this subsequently. We didn't talk about it then because we didn't know each other then, but subsequently, looking at the approach that is so often taken by very good, kind, well-meaning, loving folks to making a difference in impoverished communities. And one of the things that was big on everybody's agenda, because you know, there's funding for these projects. And so I don't know what it's like now, but at that point, you know, the idea was to go into a community, be there for 5 years, and get out. That's the way to scale this sort of thing, so that you could be in as many communities as possible. And after 5 years in that community, we were just starting to get to know one another, right? We were just starting to understand something about that part of the world and what the lives of those people, you know, we're in a process of sitting around in, Jenna, tell me what it's called, but this open air pavilion kind of thing where that, you know, where you sit outside and talk about what do they need? What's important? What is your community like? You know, that's where we learned that 7 out of 10 children born in that community didn't make it to age 5.
Yeah.
And so that finding out what that's like for people, you know, it changes you, right? And there was no way that any of us wanted to be anywhere else after 5 years, right? Already, these people had made their way into our hearts in a way that we knew we were never going to leave. I mean, if they told us to leave, we'd leave, but they didn't seem inclined to do that, right? And by each year, it just became more and more clear that we're family. I mean, we're family separated by an awful lot, especially great distance, physical distance. But in our hearts, we're family.
Yeah,
and
I get
that.
That
I wish, one more little thought about that, Marianne, that what I wish is that everybody who wants to make a difference in the lives of people who are living in poverty would take that approach. You know, even if it's a small group of people, really commit to them. Really take up residence there, right? And plan to be together for the rest of your lives so that the children grow up in an environment where they're surrounded by support and they have the confidence and the security to go forward and be able to dream big like these kids are and find success and bring that back to the community. Not 5 years and then we got to check off, we did this and this and this and this and now we're out of here and on to the next group of people.
Yes, it's building a relationship and, you know, which is different than doing a project.
Yes, than helping people.
Yeah.
Right? That's not the point. I mean, if we're all helpful to one another, that's great. But to go into something with the idea that I'm going to help you is not a good foundation for a relationship. It has to be mutual.
And we get to see that when we connect, electronically. I mean,
yes.
I just feel so moved by the joy and dedication of those practitioners there in Cantalumba. And,
yeah.
You know, they have a commitment, we have a commitment, and it is so heart-lifting, so soul-lifting to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. It's fabulous. Again, you know, they're our kids. Those are our kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I just had to phone in and just say how much I'm grateful for that project. And I will be thinking of my kind of little thing that I'm doing for fundraising this year. I might take up the 5-mile challenge.
We could get out there together every day.
Yes.
All right.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Gesho, Michael.
Gesho.
Thanks for joining us, Marianne. I'm wiping away the tears over here, Sherry. And
yeah.
About the 5-year commitment, I remember you saying about spiritual practice, you know, if you just had 5 years to awaken and suffering. I mean, I think I was...
Can you imagine?
I think I was to crawling maybe at 5 years.
Me too. I mean, if anybody, you know, if the Buddha had said, okay, you know, I'm moving through India here, so you know, you folks have 5 years, and then I'm
right.
moving on. Oh my gosh! Well, none of us would be doing what we're doing today.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller,
oh.
You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Miriam from Eastern Canada.
Hi,
Hello,
Miriam.
Miriam. Are you surprised?
Yes, I was. I was very shocked. I have so much gratitude for all the practice offerings, all the wonderful opportunities, and I'm about 2 years in, and I'm still having trouble rolling over, so I'm not even close to crawling yet. But I'm trying. Oh, I'm trying so hard. I've heard you say something a few times, and I was wondering if you could speak more to it, and it's not look, what you say is that we have to look through conditioning, not at it. And
no.
The other way. Okay, so it's not looking through it, it's looking at it.
That's right. So, for instance, if you said to me, let's see, what might you say to me? Oh, let's say it's not you. Let's say somebody says to me, you know, Sherry, that thing that you said, that I swear that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. If I am looking through conditioned mind, I'm going to, because conditioned mind is ego, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go to, well, how dare you? What are you talking about? That was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Okay? If I'm looking at conditioned mind, then I watch conditioned mind do that whole defensive arguing process.
Okay, because the way...
And I'm watching it from awareness.
Because the way I was understanding it was that to look through the conditioning to see the human on the other side.
Well, that's a very different process. And you make an important distinction there. So in that case, yes, what you're doing, and the only way you're going to be able to pull that off is from center.
Oh, right? I know.
You can't be, yeah.
Trust me, yeah. I know that.
We just can't pull that off if we're identified with ego, right? And so there you are at center, and you're looking at somebody, and you're listening to them, watching them and listening to them, and you can actually see the ego identification.
Yes.
Now, right? If it's somebody you know well, then you watch them go in and out of ego identifications all the time, just like they watch you, right?
Yes.
We hate
yes.
to think of it going both ways, but it does.
But it does.
And so And so you can see it. So maybe somebody gets upset with you, and maybe they're talking to you in a kind of a rude, impolite sort of a way. And you can see that it's not really them, that it's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, talking to you. They've been taken over. They've been snatched, right? And
yeah.
So you can see right through that to their heart. And in that way, what you hope is, first of all, they'll get through that, shortly, because it's not a happy place to be.
No.
And when they do, then you know that they'll be back to themselves. And maybe they'll feel bad about their identification and how they treated you. You hope not, because you don't want them to suffer over it. Right?
Well.
not from center you don't.
Not from center, but I'm not quite centered at the moment. But so
then that's right. Then you're
yeah.
identified with ego. And
yes.
you're not actually able to see their authenticity.
Because this person, it's been an ongoing issue. And I have had that experience where I could see the authentic human and not the conditioning. But it
that's
didn't last.
That's Miriam, that's when you're centered.
Yes.
Yeah.
It didn't last long.
So that's right, because like the rest of us, you're trained to identify with ego.
Yes.
Ego gets upset over something and off we go. We identify with it. So those are the two places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we tie those together, there you are with this other person. She. Okay. So she does, she gets identified with ego, and she starts doing an ego conditioned thing. You're touch into center, and you can see, oh my gosh, that's not her. That's ego identification, okay? And then ego says something in your ear, and instead of looking at conditioned mind, you start looking through conditioned mind, and now the war is on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
if you had stayed at center, you would have watched ego come up and start saying all that stuff designed to pull you in. You would have seen it. But instead, it did pull you in. You identified with it, and
mm-hmm.
there it is. So I have a friend who says, if in this case, okay, if her conditioning triggers your conditioning.
My conditioning's the problem.
That's right. Her conditioning is not the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that on a post-it because I've heard you say that. And that's that was one of a big foundation for my practice and the changes that I want to make. And,
yep.
But, so my latest, round of identification, I saw myself slip into it. So I was aware mm-hmm. that I was in it, but it was really, it was a fierce battle. And like, basically, if I had a baseball bat, I would have taken it to this person. That's how
violently angry. Right. We see how people kill people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And anybody who says, oh, I just don't see how anybody, well, okay, maybe that level of repression is working for them. But for most of us, if we're honest, we know what it's like to get identified with the ego like that, to not care if somebody lives or dies, to wish them ill, to, you know, hope the very worst for them. We know those places, which is why God made recording and listening.
Yes. Right? Oh, it's been a godsend.
Yeah.
It's been a godsend.
That person gets to put that recorder in the right hand and just vent like crazy. And then you get to listen to that and say, wow, I do not want that person in charge of my life, right? I'm sorry that she's suffering like that, but I'm not letting her make phone calls or write emails.
And that's the thing right now is that we started a conversation in May, and everything I brought up, she said, well, I don't remember that. It set me off. So I said, we have to stop this right now. I said, and I'll come back to you when I'm ready. So it's been 6 months and I'm not ready.
There you go.
And
is this a relative or somebody
it's someone that that's in my work environment, but not that I work with every day. Because I had two jobs and one of them involved working with her, but I resigned that job because I just couldn't take it anymore. And but the thing is she keeps harassing another coworker. Well, she won't talk to me and you have to make her talk to me, but I'm not ready to talk to her because I still want to take a baseball bat to her.
Okay, Miriam, here's my best encouragement. If you want to continue to go through this to get to the other side of that rage, that's great. But we have no obligation at all to stay in relationships. We just don't. So as long as it has that ability to have you so identified, it's not serving anybody.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
To consider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was something you said that 2 weeks ago that really, really stuck with me was, can you see that deep well of sadness that rage is covering up?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't wanted to touch that yet, but anyway, I'm going to keep practicing and I'm going to keep showing up and participating.
Just staying with it, but just to keep in mind that ego would make shoulds out of things.
Yeah,
we don't have to fall for that. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
And ego manages to turn practice against me, but I don't let it.
No. And above all, don't buy any baseball bats.
No. No, okay. I leave it at home.
Very good.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Miriam.
Thank you.
Gosho. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Miriam. It's another fascinating conversation, Sherry. And we are at the top of the hour.
Well, goodness gracious. It just flies, doesn't it?
It does fly, and it was fabulous, and I'm really grateful to be here.
Me too. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for doing this week after week after week. Much appreciated.
My pleasure, my privilege, and thanks to you, and thanks to everyone.
All right. Go happy, huh?
Go happy. You too.
All right. Good night.
Good night.